The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift your voice and just worship Him. Don't pray in your heart. Speak. Speak with your words. We honor His name by adoration. Psalm 29 verse 2 tells us that. We honor Him by adoration, by adoring His name. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Lift your hands and your voice and give Him praise. Thank Him for the things He has done. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us to remember the Lord, that He is the one that gives us power to make wealth. Thank Him for all the victories that you've recorded in the month of March. Thank Him for all the victories you've recorded so far. All the victories you've recorded this year. Honor Him. Worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Oh, we love You, Lord Jesus. Two times I will teach the word. Lift your voice in this place.
Is your name.
We worship You, Lord.
We worship.
Oh, yes.
Your majesty.
Sing it one more time. Say, holy.
Holy.
Church, let me hear you sing.
Creation,
call You Lord,
call You
Lord. What is Your name?
Worthy
is Your name.
Is Your name.
Lord, we worship.
We worship
Your majesty.
Your majesty.
Awesome God.
God,
you
are Lord, by the eye of fear,
I am a and sing it.
It's you that I see.
See how the center of it all. See, come on.
At the center of it all.
It's you that I see.
It's you that I see.
It's you that I see. And I can't keep it, Tamono. Lord, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Lord, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Chukwoma. Lord, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Tamuno. Lord, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Tamuno. Sing it, say, Tamuno. Hey,
you've done so much and I can't keep it.
Now, think of all the provisions, all the miracles of deliverances, all the healings, all the supplies, all the blessings we've enjoyed in this church, in this ministry. Come on. Take your eyes off the problem you came here with. Focus it on Thanksgiving. Think of all the times He came through for you. Think of all the prayers answered. Think of all the miracles of supply for your family. All the times the enemy thought you will lose. But He came through for you. Come on, sing it, come on. Think of all those times. In your studies, in your business, in your workplace. Sing like you know what you're saying. Damuno, hey, Damuno. You've done so much for me. Tamuno, hey, tamuno. Chuko kikemelaya. Everybody, hala tamunoe. God has done so much for me.
Done so much, and I can't keep it.
You opened doors for me. A reason to bless him this morning.
You've done so much, I cannot keep it.
God is so faithful.
You've done so much, I cannot keep it.
Just recount his faithfulness. Come on. He's been so, so good to me.
You've done so much, I cannot keep it.
Oh, no man, no man, no man. He's done so much for me.
He's done so much, I cannot keep it.
On your name, my
God.
You've done so much for me. Everybody call him Tamunoe. You can lift your hands and sing it. Oh yes. Everybody say Tamunoe. Get a neighbor. In the next 1 minute, think of something that God has done in this past 1 month. The one you can tell the person. And let's have some testimony time here. Share with that person something that God has done in the past 1 month or 2 months. You've done so much and I can't keep it. Tamunoe. You've done so much and I can't keep it. Tamunoe. Onyoma. He's done so much and I can't keep it. Onyoma. Chukwoma. Ah, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Chukwoma. Ayiba. God, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Ayiba. Ayiba. You've done so much and I can't keep it. Tamuno. Lord, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Tamuno. Oh, Tamuno. Lord, you've done so much and I can't keep it. Tamuno. Has the Lord blessed you? Tell of it. I know you came here expecting a miracle, but the Lord said you to share your testimony. Share your story with someone. Before any miracle service, share your story with someone. Because God has been good. We just fail to remember sometimes. We just seem to forget. That has it not been for the Lord's mercies, we have been consumed. Tamuno. You've done so much and I can't keep it. Can we do it one more time?
Oh yes.
If he has has stored your family in the password box, if he has provided for you, if he has given you a healing, if he has opened doors for you, come on to a dance in the Holy Ghost. If he has given you revelation, if he has provided, if he has given you understanding, higher. This morning, did you see the hand of God this morning? Somebody call him Abuno. Somebody call him Abuno. Somebody call him Abuno. Come on, church. Did you get your house in the past 1 week? Did you get your job in the past 1 week? January till now has been kept in perfect health all the while. Come on. Do it two more times with your best dance now. It's always good to expect a miracle in an atmosphere of thanksgiving. One of the things it does is that it reminds you that the Lord that did the previous ones will do this one. And that's one of the wisdom you notice every time when we come for meetings. Maybe Roosevelt is coming now. Most of us, when we're going to have miracle services, we always find out I sing too much. And the reason is, when you keep people's mind away from their problem and focus it on God and thanksgiving, more miracles come. That's the truth. Because if they're thinking about their problem, I have 10 prayer points I came here with, they're just going to be overwhelmed by it. But when they are just focused on what he has done, you remember that the same God that helped you to kill the lion and the bear will bring down Goliath too. That's the secret. And that's what David did when he met Goliath. He told him, well, some time ago, the lion came, I slew the lion. The bear came, I slew the bear. Goliath might be bigger than the lion and the bear, but then, come on, the same God that helped me with those ones will help me with this one. And God came true. So most times when you're expecting a miracle, it's not actually the best time for you to be moody, for you to be sad. Now, last Sunday, I gave a word, especially in the second service. I talked about the fact that people, we are going to get houses this week. Now, do you remember that? I'm going to give you a few testimonies of that. You know, while in service that day, while after we finished that prayer and that word came, one of us that was on his way to church that day, the Lord already told him that he was going to pay somebody's house rent that day. And he didn't know who the person was. So we had just finished praying and the Lord said that is the person you are paying the house rent. And that house rent God paid in church that day. Now, that's in service that day. And then within the week, I've had my mail is full. 2, 3, 4, 5 persons, all with the same testimony. Some that have been looking for a house since January till now. This was just this last week. Okay? Just supernaturally, they got what they're looking for. First of all, the supply, and then the house. All in 1 week. Right? And that tells you that no word of God will return to him void. When he speaks, it will happen. This morning, I'm going to teach. Yes. But I can tell you, if you're expecting a miracle, somewhere along the line, something is going to hit you. You know, I've said it many times. The reason why when you see me, I come to miracle, if I want to pray for healing, maybe, for instance, evening of answers now, some people will be thinking that I'm going to come in with a dance or come in with my back, you know, to show some, say, power, day ground. The reason why you see me in such miracle services, I come very calmly and speak very calmly.
is that I want to always assure people that it's not in the gymnastics. It's not in whatever we do. The anointing of God is real. I've told you, if you know day, you know day. There is no drama that can bring it. But the power of God is in this place. So whether we shout or we scream, you're going home with your miracle. That sickness in your body will not return with you. That is a fact. Glory to God. That sickness will not return with you. What you came here looking for will be met. Will be found. Can I also add, by the time you are leaving this door, your tears would have been dry. And I heard that not just for everybody, but I heard that for a particular person. No, two people actually. You are not crying in your heart. You spent last night and the previous crying over a matter. Don't worry. I don't worry. Before you leave this door, your tears would have been dry. It would have been replaced with laughter. In the name of Jesus. And to these two people I'm talking to, you don't have to believe. Do you hear what I said? You just don't believe. Just sit down. Just ignore what I'm saying. Don't believe it. But it's going to happen. There are certain things that will happen by the sovereign act of God. I'm hearing that in my spirit. By the sovereign act of God. We hear people even say, I don't believe in all this stuff. And yet God will come through for them. That will be some of your experiences. That when the miracle comes, the day you write your testimony, you will say, I didn't even believe it will happen. But you will receive your answer. In the name of Jesus. Are you excited? Let's have our seat. Good morning. March is coming to an end. And normally I should have asked, what have you achieved? But can I say to you, you've achieved a lot. You've achieved a lot this month. You may not just be aware of it, but you've achieved a lot. Say amen. And I can run you through some things that you've achieved. If you've been praying, keeping to your prayer time, and if you have improved your prayer and your study time, you've achieved a lot already this month, this year. If you've been coming to church much more than you were coming last year, you've achieved a lot this year. I get what I'm saying. If you've got an extra certification, if you've learned something new, you've achieved a lot this year. I know for some of us, the money is not flowing yet. But then you are building on something. And it's going to come. So be encouraged. I get what I'm talking about. Yes, be encouraged. The year is not, it is never going to be a bad year. Never. How can it be a bad year? Never. Say never. Never. This year that the Lord is making me a sign and a wonder, it can't be a bad year. It's a blessed year. So even as March is ending, somewhere before the end of this service or so, the Lord is going to give us the word for April. And we are going to run with it too. He said, give us now. I don't even know it as I'm talking to you. But I know I'm going to know it for the end of the service. Say amen. Amen. Glory to God. And there is no pressure. That's a good thing. It's easier to hear God when you're not under any pressure. Do you understand? When I say, God, please speak now. If you don't speak now, these people will think I'm not anointed. There is no pressure. Amen. So we've been on the subject of honor. Right? And I'll just flow with that. Our other centers are joining us today. And so what I will do this morning, they will be able to flow. If you're joining us for the first time, you'll be able to connect. But I will encourage you that all the other teachings we've done, you should get it. You should get them. Because even on Thursday, this teaching will continue. But what you hear today will be a full package, actually. But it will be good you refer to other. Not even good. As a matter of instruction, get other parts of this teaching and listen to it. Amen. So we close on Thursday by talking about honor in your family, right? Yes, we're going to stop that part of that teaching to revisit it later in this series, right? I want to come back to the church. I've taught you on honor in the family, honor in church, you know, I've started with that, honor to the Lord, honor to the government authority. Remember that? We've found all of that. The subject of honor is so broad. It's not just what you can streamline. It's so broad. We've handled all of those things. But to that, I want to come back to the church again. Who should we honor? Should that be honor in the church? I've taught you generally how to behave yourself when you're in church. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15 tells us, if I tarry long,
that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So there is a way to behave when you're in the house of God. That's also a part of honor. But what we want to look at today is, who are the people we should honor in church? How do we honor people in church? Who should we honor in church? And this teaching will open us up to every prayer that we're going to pray in this service. Are you following me? Who should we honor in church? Yes, we should honor our parents. We've looked at that. That's family. In fact, I even showed us we should honor all men. Remember that day? I taught you how to honor the conductor on the street. Very rich, classic series we are running. How to honor the conductor, how to honor the waiter, how to honor the fuel pump attendant. That is an honor that is due all of them. I taught you how to honor your parents. And I will still show you, I've not gone to that, how to honor your spouse in marriage. But then, in church, there are people that are deserving of honor. There are people that are deserving of honor. And one of those people we're going to look at today, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Glory to God. He said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So he said, the elders that rule well. The word elders is from the Greek word presbyteros. Now, I'll spell it for you. P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S. P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S. That's where we get the word presbyter. Presbyter. It actually means a minister who is in charge. A Christian leader, a minister in church. So he says, when we're in church, the elders, the presbyter, the minister, the pastor who is in church that rules well must be counted worthy of double honor. And he tells you who that pastor is, who the elder is. It's not just people who are giving instruction. He said there are people that labor in the word and doctrine. That is, people whose job in church is to teach you the word. He said you must honor them. So primarily in church, this is the work of the lead pastor. And then any other person he delegates to teach, other person delegates to teach. So people that labor, that work in the word, that's in the word and in doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. He said they should be counted worthy of honor. No, scratch that. They should be counted worthy of double honor. Are you following me? And so in church, the pastor in charge, the one that teaches the word, should be honored. But notice he said he should be honored doubly. Do you know why he talked like that? Because if you read the whole of the epistles of Paul, we've been looking at it so far. Paul has been teaching on honor. In this same 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you look at verse 1, he taught us how to respect elders. So someone that is older than you, rebuke him, not treat him as a father. In verse 2, he taught us how to respect mothers. Elder women as mothers, there is honor for them. How to respect young people. In verse 3, he taught us how to honor widows. If you check, he kept teaching honor. He taught us how to honor, you know, people at your workplace. Then he now came to the subject of elders that rule well in verse 17. He said, these particular people, every other honor I've taught you, these ones deserve double that honor. And we're going to see why. Because I told you, yes, we must honor all men, but all men are not deserving of the same level of honor. And that's the truth. And how did we come about that? It's so clear in this verse. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. In other words, yes, we honor everybody, but there are some that deserve double honor. Let me tell you, I've been saying this to start this series. Wisdom is the understanding of difference. If you do not understand that everybody in your life are not the same and must not be treated the same, then you are actually a very foolish person. But understand difference. And so he said, yes, there is honor, but there is double honor. And this double honor is not just for everyone. It is for they that labor in the word and doctrine. Give me like other translations
that, of course, they repeat what he's trying to say. Well, we're not going to look at all of that today. He said, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. Especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Give me Amplified Classic. Those who work hard at teaching and preaching. He said, that the elders who perform the duties of their office will be considered doubly worthy of honor. So it's not just that worthy of honor. It is honor times two. And so when you see a believer that honors their pastor and holds their pastor in high esteem, don't think they are being brainwashed or they're doing hero worship. They're actually obeying God's word. Because the people who labor at teaching and preaching, they have double honor. And I tell you one of the reasons, you know, just a very simple reason why that is true. It's because what they work out in your life is actually, it's immeasurable. Think of having, you know, there are a lot of people who came from dysfunctional homes. They come to church and just a pastor starts a series that begins to fix those homes. The person falls sick tomorrow. The pastor prays, he gets well. The person is struggling with an addiction. The pastor teaches and he breaks from the addiction. All those things are happening. You can't actually measure how much. So that's why anyone that labors, you see the word is labor, in preaching and teaching, they're counting worthy of double honor. And so, you see, in church, we must honor all men. We must honor the elderly. We must honor the saints, our fellow saints. We will still get to that. We must honor even people that work in church. But we must doubly honor people that are placed as leaders and pastors who teach the word. They deserve double honor. And if you have a problem with this teaching, then it's just your problem. Because I've taken time to show you from the onset that everybody is having enough honor. Right? But then, this one, you know, we live in a generation that do not want to hear about honor. And if at all they hear about honor, don't talk about honoring men of God. Talk about honoring parents. Say yes, yes, yes. And that is also right. I've thought on that. I think that I took a Sunday and a Thursday to talk about honoring your parents. And very classic teaching we had on Thursday. Were you blessed? That generation want to hear that. And thank God they even want to hear it. Because one of the signs, you know, one of the signs of perilous time is that men will not walk in honor. He said men will be disobedient to their parents. It's one of the signs of the end time. So people want to talk about honor, they just get offended. When you talk about honor to any other thing, but we say, honor your pastor. They say, why? Why should we do that? Well, the Bible was not written considering your emotions. The Bible is God's word. Look at that. Worthy of double honor. And that's because when you do not walk in honor towards your pastor, it has a lot of implications. It has a lot of implications. Apart from the fact that you are disobeying the word of God, you also put yourself in a very bad place. As we're going to see very shortly. You also put yourself in a very bad place. I'm not going to get into how to honor your pastor today. Maybe on Thursday we're going to look at that. But I just want to show you the basics. So you must consider of double honor. One of the reasons why we walk in honor towards our pastors and generally walking in honor is because honor will always breed honor. Honor is like a seed. When you sow it, you will reap honor. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, the prophet, you know, was speaking to the house of Eli. He says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said, watch this, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. He said, but now the Lord said, be it far from me. Be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So if you don't walk in honor towards the Lord, he said, there will be no honor in your own house. And one of the major ways to walk in honor towards the Lord is to honor what the Lord honors. And the Lord honors his ministers. You know, I told you already that the reason we honor people is not just because of them. It's basically because of the honor that God has put on them. Remember I told you that? You honor pastors because God has put his honor upon them. You know, the Lord said unto Moses, he said, called Joshua, the son of Nun, and lay your hands on him. And he said, I will take some of your honor and put on him. So God puts his honor on people. And so any man that the Lord has honored, say, how do you mean the Lord has honored him? Any person the Lord thinks is good enough to be called into ministry deserves your honor. Because there is an honor of God upon him. And when you walk in that honor, you will always be positioned to receive the same honor. Let me say this to you. Especially if you want to do ministry, want to be in the mainstream of ministry. Maybe God has called you to be a pastor or something. Never walk in dishonor and rebellion towards your pastor. Because I tell you, somewhere in your future, that thing is waiting for you. Well, believe it or doubt it at your own expense. At your own expense. Are you following me? So you must watch that. The Lord honors those that walk in honor. Those that, in other words, you know why? They are honoring what he honors. If God esteems this thing, and you esteem that in the same way, the Lord will honor you because you are not honoring that thing or that person because the person is the best. You are honoring that person because the Lord has put his honor upon him. So in other words, you are honoring the Lord. In fact, let me show you this. John chapter 5. John, it's good I've shown you this before. I want to show you again. John chapter 5 verse 23. John 5 verse 23. A general rule on honor, I showed you already. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent him. So if God sends a man of God, and you dishonor that man of God, you are dishonoring his sender, not him. It's just like there's an event going on, and I'm meant to be there, and I cannot be there, and I send someone to be there to represent me. And the person gets there, you people insult him, you push him, you slap him, you say, come on, get out. You've insulted me, you've dishonored me. You did not dishonor the person, you dishonored his sender. Every time you are dishonoring God's servant, you are dishonoring his sender. That's the truth. And that is why God will honor those that honor him. Because you are honoring what he honors. He will put his honor upon you. As simple as that. Honor will produce honor. And I know there is a lot to say about hero worship is not honor. All of that. I'll still address that. Maybe on Thursday and moving forward. I'm going to deal with all of that. I told you I'm giving special attention to this teaching. Amen. You know, I'm going to show you the difference between honor and worship. We might even get to that today, if God permits us. So I'm not talking about worship. However, you must honor what God honors. You must go to God's word and find in God's word how God wants his ministers to be honored, and you treat them that way. Yes. And so, one, I told you honor will breed honor. When you honor God's things, God will honor you. But can I even add, when you honor God's people and you honor people on earth, other people will honor you too. Most times, it's not just about what God will do. It's about the fact that that's how human beings are created to function. They are created to give you what you give to them. Look, give me Luke 6 verse 37. Luke 6 37. All of you know 38 at least. 38 is give, it shall be given unto you. But look at 37. 37 said, judge not, you shall not be judged. So when it says judge not, judge, who should you not judge? Don't judge men, right? And what will come? Men will not judge you too. This is not talking about your relationship with God here. It's talking about your flow with men. He says, judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, you shall be forgiven. Verse 30 now said, give, you shall be given. It's the same flow. He's teaching you how men do their relationship. And I say, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall, which people? Men give to your bosom. He said, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you. In other words, how you treat men is how they will treat you. Let me tell you, when you see an honorable person, someone that walks in honor towards people, yes, one or two persons may dishonor him, but many more men will walk towards that person in honor because of how he acts towards other people. You know, the irony in our generation is that many people are quite very dishonorable, but they demand honor from people. That's against the law of human relationship. Just against it. Go back to verse 37. Give me like New Living Translation. So that you understand it. Let's read together. Do not judge others. And so did he say, if you don't judge others, God will not judge you? Is that what he said? No. He's talking to you about your flow with men. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, you'll be forgiven. He's not talking about God. He's talking about your flow with men. Verse 38, that said, give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's how men act. Now, he's not trying to say that anybody you honor will honor you back. But he's saying that if you walk in honor, eventually you will reap honor. Because there is no place in the Bible that we are told that we will reap where we sow. He didn't say we will reap where we sow, but he said we will reap what we sow. So you might not reap honor the same place you sowed honor, but eventually that honor is coming back to you. Are you fully what I'm talking about? Eventually. And that's why one of the ways to raise loyal people, for instance, if you're a pastor, is to be a loyal person yourself. If you're a very dishonorable person, eventually people will see through you. No matter how you pretend, they will see that dishonor, and with time, they begin to reproduce the same thing. They begin to reproduce the same thing. And that's why you notice any man of God who has a habit of bashing other men of God, when he begins to do that, people, his church members will be hailing him. They will even be so excited. But give it a few years from them, those same church members will start bashing him. Because they've learned a pattern from him, they will reproduce the same pattern. I'm just telling you the truth. I follow what I'm saying. Because at the end of the day, when you walk in honor towards people, towards men, of course, your pastor and all of that, you are going to reap that same honor. There are pastors, there are leaders in church who do not honor their pastor, but somehow they want to demand that honor from people who are serving under them, or people who are under them. Workers who have no honor for their pastor, but they want that everybody will honor them. Because the problem with our generation is that we cannot even take what we give. We give out so much dishonor, yet when we are served the same thing, we can't take it. You must walk in honor. Because that every honor, act of honor, is actually a seed that is going to come back in one way or the other. Are you following me? Another thing honor can do for you, that walking honor towards your pastor, and I've said this, if I want to say it again, it has the capacity to prolong your life and your ministry. Honor generally prolongs life and ministry. I've showed you this already. When I was teaching you honor to your parents, Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Remember that? Honor your father and your mother. Which is the first commandment with a promise. What is the promise? Verse 3, that you, it may be well with you and you will live long on earth. That's why people who walk in dishonor, so much dishonor towards, you know, their parents, their pastors, there is a tendency that their life will be cut short. Not because God is going to kill them. Because I want to clarify that. Not because God is going to say, well, you guys are walking in dishonor and I'm going to take your life. It is because there is a protection that comes from the blessing that your parents give. A protection that comes from the blessing your pastor gives. That once you put yourself in dishonor, you miss out of that. That's why you notice some church members call their pastors my covering. My covering. It's not entirely wrong. Of course, there's a sense in which I don't like that actually. But it's not entirely wrong. Because there are certain places you might get to in life that your own strength might fail. You may need the covering of a pastor to speak over you. I get what I'm saying. Now imagine you've walked in dishonor towards that person. You become exposed and very vulnerable at that point because there is no voice. And so he said, if children do not obey their parents, but he said they will not live so long. The blessing of honor is that they can prolong your life. And can I add to ministers? It will prolong your ministry. Walking in honor will prolong your life and prolong your ministry. I wish I had time. I can give you many examples. Numbers 12. Read about Aaron and Miriam. They woke up one day. They rebelled against Moses. They looked at Moses and they told Moses, are you the only one that God speaks to? And the reason they were fighting Moses was because he married, you know, because this is very serious. We'll look at that on Thursday. He married an Ethiopian woman who he shouldn't have married. Because of course Moses was the one that laid down the rules for them that an Israelite must marry an Israelite. That's Numbers 12 I'm reading from. An Israelite. Now Moses himself marries an Ethiopian woman. And so they came up against him. Remember again, who was Aaron? Who is Aaron? Well, you need to answer now, you are correct. Aaron was Moses' assistant, who later became, from being his assistant, he became the high priest in Israel. But primarily, he is Aaron's, is Moses' elder brother, elder cousin. So, age-wise, he was older than Moses. Who was Miriam? Miriam was the first prophetess recorded in Israel. However, Miriam too was Moses' older cousin. Miriam was so old, was so older than Moses, that by the time they gave birth to Moses, Miriam was old enough to wait by the riverbank and watch out for Moses. So she wasn't a small girl. So at least 10 to 14 years age difference. But the Lord had picked Moses already. So they woke up one day, who is even this guy? Why are you even married an Ethiopian woman? They say, you are doing as if you are the only one that God used to talk to. And that particular Bible said, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Is it only Moses that God used to talk to? Has he not spoken to us too? Is it the only person that used to hear from God? Or do you want to carry yourself like who I don't know? But the Bible said, the Lord heard it. So all those conversations going on, say, leave all those people. Pastors are not trying to claim that. See, we are all children of God. God speaks to all of us. We are all the same. God hears it. Just keep that one somewhere. Are you following me? Give me like an NLT of this verse. English translation of this verse. They said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too? The question is, has the Lord really spoken through them? Huh? Yes. No doubt. Was God speaking to them and through them? Yes. So, they were not lying. But they were making that statement in dishonor. Bible says the Lord heard them. And in fact, let me show you. Look at God's answer to them. Stay with this NLT. Look at God's answer to them. Go down. Verse 3. Now Moses was very humble. The man they were rebelling against was a very humble person. Haven't you seen how a man of God can be so humble, so down to earth, yet people are fighting the person? He was more humble than any other person on earth. Think about that. That's a whole lot. Even if he was one that wrote it, it's still correct. I agree what I'm saying. Now see the next verse. Verse 4. So immediately the Lord called to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, and said, go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. So the three of them went to the tabernacle. Remember, they had this conversation. I am not sure that Moses heard this conversation. They were just talking. Who is even this guy? One, he married an Ethiopian woman. Secondly, he's even acting as though he's the only one that has the voice of God. We also hear God. Moses, Aaron may be recounting the kind of miracles he has done. Miriam too. Say the other day that somebody was sick. It's not me that opened the blind eye. We also hear God. And then, so, now go to verse 5, quickly. Then the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. Aaron and Miriam, he called. And they stepped forward. And the Lord said to them, now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, will reveal myself in visions. I will speak to them in dreams. But not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he's the one I trust. The Lord was teaching them, difference. I speak to all of you, but all of you are not the same. That's what he was telling them. Are you what I'm talking about? Now you must realize, I said it again, wisdom is understanding of difference. It is foolishness to come into your house, your family house, and think that all of you are the same. All of you are not the same. Are all of you the father? Are all of you the mother? Are all of you last born? We can say, we are all the same. All of us have equal rights in this house. Oh God, stop that, you know. There is a father that, first of all, thought of having a family. That's why you came. that if he never thought of having a family, you will not have a family to fight for equal rights. Imagine your father refused to give birth. Became irresponsible, I was moving up, but you will not be existing by now. And that's why you come into a church family, realize that there is difference. He said, he is the one I trust. That's why I told you, God loves us equally, but he doesn't trust us equally. Trust with God in the area of deep responsibility comes by proving yourself faithful. And Moses had earned that trust. Now see the next verse. Verse 8. I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? So actually, there are people you should be afraid to talk about. And that is not a message that pastors preach to make people afraid to criticize them. No. That's actually just the word of God. Are you following me? Of course, you know how this story ended. Look at verse 9. The Lord was very angry with them and he departed. Verse 10. And as the cloud moved from the tabernacle, there stood Midian, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. Now, somebody may say, what happened to Aaron? Why did nothing happen to Aaron? I'm not going to say much about this, but let me just make a statement. When the Lord allows me, I'm going to explain it. The Igbos have a saying. No, okay. Sorongwere. Mammiri. Right? Complete it. Oko Ngwere. What that simply means, if the lizard and the rat decide to enter water together. Remember, the rat has hairs on his body. Lizard has no hair. The lizard can come out from the water and the body is dry immediately. The rat will come out. It will take him hours to dry its body. There are a few reasons why you and someone can go and ask drama. And the person will go scot-free. You get into trouble. I will talk about that later. But there are a few reasons why that can happen. Because Midian was just talking. Aaron was talking. Midian was talking. Now, who stood there leprous? Midian. And I can tell you, he says, because she's a woman, may God deliver that demon in your head. May the Lord deal with that demon of femininity that has come to waste your life and your destiny. In the name of Jesus. It's not because she's a woman. Right? So leave that part. Because Gehazi became leprous sometime for the thundering Elisha. Was Gehazi a woman? So leave that part. But I'm just saying, this was not just did she become leprous. This became the last time we heard about her ministry in Israel. The last time in the Bible. You will not see the name Miriam spoken of again after this day. So dishonor can actually cut people's ministry short. Another example I've mentioned is Gehazi. Same story. Number 16. You read about Korah. Remember Korah and his brothers? Those ones too. They were so bold. They were not afraid. Now, after watching what happened to Aaron and Miriam in Numbers 12, Korah in number 16 with his brothers who were Korah, they were Levites. They woke up and said, now this time they were not just rebelling against Moses, they were not rebelling against Aaron. So they woke up and began to talk. They said, all of us are the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Now, look at what they said. Give me NLT. Let's read together, everybody. Let me translation. Are you ready? Exactly the same thing Aaron and Miriam said. They said people don't learn. So look at this. Let's read together. They united against Moses and Aaron and said, you have gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What rights do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the lost people? You see, the same thing, the same flow of thought. We all carry power. We all are one in Christ Jesus. So pastors should stop acting as though they are superhumans. The same flow of thought. It didn't end well. These ones, the ground opened and swallowed them up. Not spiritually. Their ministry and everything they represented ended. I'm trying to tell you that this is not to create fear, but this will tell you that if you deliberately keep walking in dishonor, you will actually cut your life short. If not just your life, I mean your ministry. You might not go as far as you will. You know, let me even go very natural. Now, I'm not being too spiritual. There are people in local churches. Now, I'm saying this not to make you ambitious, because we don't expect that you come into a church, you're becoming ambitious. There are people that come into local churches. When the Lord is bringing them, the Lord has ordained that one of these days, this one will rise and become a pastor in this ministry to handle maybe the whole of Southwest one of these days, or to lead the whole of East Africa in this ministry one of these days. But somewhere along the line, he gets angry, he rebels, he goes. You know what has happened? What has happened? That ministry is over. In fact, sometimes if he finds his way back to incenses and comes back to the ministry, it may take a longer time. That's if it ever happens, to get where he's going to. I said, dishonor will cut your ministry short in many ways you don't know. I get what I'm talking about. There are some of you seated here that there are some special, maybe God has looked into 7 years of this ministry, 10 years, and that is a part of the ministry. For instance, people that, the part of ministry that God has said, you're going to be able to handle, you do this for me in 10 years from now. But then before that 10 years came, your head began to touch. Began to walk in dishonor. To cut your ministry short. If I had time, I would have shown you 1 Samuel 25, the story of a man called Nabal. Nabal. Nabal means foolish. It means idiot. Now, I mean the meaning of the name. And he lived up to his name. He was an idiot. And one of the ways he showed for that what? Idiotism. Oh God. One way he showed for that foolishness was that he walked in this. He dishonored David. Because if you read 1 Samuel 25, David, you know, met the men of Nabal, took care of them very well, and now sent his own men to Nabal and said, please, give us this, give us that. Nabal dishonored David. Nabal said, who is this one? This runaway servant that ran away from Saul. Dishonored him. And David was so angry and wanted to go and waste his household. But Nabal had a wise wife called Abigail. So Abigail knew that David was going to come out and do something. And Abigail just intercepted the process, took food and stuffs to David, and apologized to David. And David withdrew and didn't do anything. 10 days after that, Nabal himself just died. But how do I put it? The Bible says the Lord slew him. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some things that you see in the Bible. Whether you are studying in context or out of context, what they say is the Lord or it's not the Lord. He died is the end point. I get what I'm saying. That is the end point. Now, if they argue it's not the Lord, it's angel, it's demon. Well, he died. And when he died, that his wife was married to David, became married to David. I don't know why. What was the reaction for? No. But David had nothing to do with it. If and when he died, David gave thanks to the Lord for not letting him become a part of his death. And that's why I say to pastors and people, when people dishonor you, there is no point fighting. People will get what they're sowing. Because if David had gone to, but I like your reaction, if David had gone to kill the man and now married his wife, it would now look like, but he didn't do anything. Because the wife said, don't do it, he just left. And eventually, he died. Say amen. Honor will keep you in long life. Look at that. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that had pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and had kept his servant from evil. So he was grateful that he didn't play part in that thing. He was grateful. Hallelujah. For the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail. to take her to him to wife. Glory to God. That's why you should not die a foolish death. Because if you die a foolish death, everything you leave behind, people will enjoy it. Including your wife, sir. And your wife will not be sinning against the Lord at that time. Because you are dead. Don't die foolishly. Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't die a foolish death too. Glory to God. Now, another thing, honor for your pastor will do for you is that it will give you access to the man. I didn't say to God's presence. God's presence is open to all of us. When he died on the cross, he opened the door for us to come to him. But honor to what your pastor will give you access to the man himself. There is a natural tendency in everybody to shield themselves from people who are dishonorable. If someone keeps dishonoring you, the natural thing you're going to do is to withdraw yourself from him. And rightfully so. And so people who are honorable always have access to big people. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. I'm going to show you on Thursday how to walk in honor towards your pastor. And if you carry that thing I'm going to show you on Thursday and do part of it even in your workplace, you will have honor to, you have access to the biggest of people. Yes. For instance, when we talk about giving to your pastor, want to honor your pastor, do you know that giving to your pastor is still a key to open any door anywhere? Do you know that? In our avenment of you quote, we got that on Thursday. Quote this scripture. The gift of a man making a way for him. As I'm singing, doors will open. Oga, listen. That's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is not saying that the gift as per talent of a man. He's saying when you're going to see a great man, go with gift. It will open door for you. Say amen. We'll look at it on Thursday. Don't worry. All he's trying to teach you there is honor. Where you go with gift. That's why some of you are going to meet a great man. You know, he has said, how are you? Oh, you've just finished from school. Come and see me. You go empty-handed. Go with something. Go with wine. It's just a word for honor. That thing will give you access. Well, sorry for another day. But walking in honor gives you access. And the way it now gives you access, to maintain that access, there is a way you keep relating with that man. That door will remain open. There is a way you will ask, that door will be shut. The reason many people don't have access to their pastors, or when they have it, they lose it, because they are not in honor themselves. And when I was teaching you on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I told you, one of the major ways the anointing of God works is by proximity. When you have access to the anointed, one, you have the opportunity to learn firsthand and to be blessed firsthand by that anointing. And what gives you that access to the person, one of it majorly is honor. Do you know what shot Saul out from Samuel's life? He said he dishonored the Lord and dishonored Samuel. Samuel corrected him and then he was still arguing. He wanted to go and he held Samuel's cloth and tore the cloth in the process. And Samuel told him, well, the Lord has turned your kingdom away. The Bible said after that, in 1 Samuel 15, that Samuel never went to see Saul again till he died. Never. That was their last meeting. The last time Saul was ever going to see Samuel, he was seeing his ghost. Because he had to go and meet with the witch at Endor to invoke his... Remember that story? To invoke his ghost. Never. That shut down that access. After that, 1 Samuel 15, in chapter 16, the Lord told him, go and anoint David for me. Now, I'm trying to show you something. What shut Saul out from that flow he had with David, or with Samuel, was dishonor. Was dishonor. Now, let me correct something. Because I said honor gives you access, this doesn't call for flattery or pretense. Well, there are people that pretend their way to access. They just keep acting like that, honorable. Good evening, sir. Yes, sir. I honor you, sir. Oh, yes, daddy. They're on Facebook, they're talking. He's the man after my heart. He changed my life. You know the truth about it? Fake cannot be sustained. If there is no honor, there is no honor. All those pretense, one day it will show. I'm not saying you start pretending or start working in flattery. And one of the ways I know that people are flattering you, are wiser now. They even say things that you are not. That one is not honor. You are lying. Say, you changed my life. I was this, and I met you, and the other one. Is it true? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, keep your heart in honor. Eventually the access will come, and if it comes, you will sustain it. One of the ways that, one of the things that happen when people are not really in honor, but are pretending, is that when they eventually get that access and come very close, it will become clear to everybody that that man will just see that, that is more. Because from far you can deceive. Say, ah, I honor you, sir. I honor you, sir. But then, when you come close, it will show. How you follow what I'm saying? It will show. You know, somebody even came here the other day and was worshipping me. Yeah. You are, in fact, God bless the diamond. When I say, I'm standing before, I followed you on Facebook all over the world. I said, okay. I know he was flattering me, but it's okay. And I proved it in a very short time. I gave him instructions. He didn't keep it. He didn't come back to today. So it's fine. You know, these things are not pretense. You know, Isaiah 29 verse 13 tells us, God was talking to me. He said, you guys are worshipping me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. They draw near with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me. So I'm not talking about lip service, because you just want to gain access to people. Because this is what they do in business. You pretend. But even if you pretend your way into access, when you finally get that access, you will lose it. Because that dishonor in your heart will expose you when you get very close. Keep your heart in honor. In church like this, don't try to pretend your way to become close to pastor. Say, ah, yes, daddy. Yes, daddy. Ah, I honor you, daddy. I pray for you, daddy. Daddy, after you, now you. Whoa, let me tell you. It may not work on me, but it could work. Because people are people. But just know that when it eventually works, by the time you get very close, light will expose your heart. And once people notice that you are dishonorable, the first thing they do is to shift from you. And let me even teach you. Don't keep dishonorable people around you. Don't keep foolish people around you. People that have no value and no regard for what God is doing with you, for all God has put upon your life. Don't keep them around you. And it's not because I have low self-esteem. I don't have any low self-esteem. But if you don't have regard and value for me, I'm not going to keep you around me. I won't do that. Because the truth of the matter, which is the last thing I'm going to talk about, is that honor makes for the flow of spiritual virtues towards you. If you keep dishonorable people around you, the gift of God that he has put upon your life will not find the best of expressions. What I'm saying is, I can be anointed of God now to heal cancer. But if someone that has cancer is sitting before me and is what is in dishonor towards me, that anointing will not work. It won't work. You know, we are sharing testimony last year of someone that had cancer that came here and the Lord healed her. Right? Cancer at stage 4. I mean, they had gone to the hospital and the doctor said, there is no more hope. When they told me, I'm talking about honor. You know, there are some things we look at on Thursday. When they told me, I said, well, God will do it. Just tell her, to just keep coming. And they obeyed that. If they had said, why can we keep coming? Can't you just pray for me? You know, that's what, that was Naaman's problem. Tell them to just keep coming. And they obeyed and just kept coming. Now, we don't know for sure when that healing took place. But it happened. I get the point. But if your heart, you see, it happened easily because there was honor. Do you know how many people have reached out to me for cancer that I didn't pray for? I'm wiser. Some of them will just come and say, sir, I say, get this message, and that book. Listen to it. When you are done, I'll pray for you. It's not because I want to activate my anointing. That honor to even follow that instruction will make for the flow of that grace towards them. This is why you, different men of God that put their hand and their leg and even their stomach on you, and nothing has changed. It's not the man of God that is suffering from anointing scarcity. You might have been in dishonor because that same thing that you are saying is fake is working for others. In Matthew 13 verse 54, Jesus, our Lord, Jesus himself, there are many stories I can give you about dishonor and how that it can stop the flow of the anointing. But I want to use Jesus because at least you believe Jesus very well. In Matthew 13:54, Bible said he was coming to his own country. He taught them in their synagogue, in so much that they were astonished And now, Jesus was teaching. Teaching was entering. Now look at their response. Where did this man get this wisdom from? And these mighty works. That was their problem. How did he become the It's not this one that we know. There's an Instagram, there's a TikTok. I almost got it. Yes. I know it. I used to say, no big ado's with this. Jesus was just dissecting the world. It's not just of Nazareth. You know, glory to God. Number 55. It's not this. No big ado's with this. It's not this Gadus. It's not his mother. You get the point. It's not this Gabina's son. It's not his mother called Mary and his brethren. They were talking about. We know this guy. It's not this one that we know. This Joseph, Mary. We even played ball with them growing up. Now verse 56. And he says, are they not all with us? Whence has this man all these things? Of course, verse 57. But they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. Verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there. See, even Jesus' anointing, in a sense, was limited in his hometown because they were in unbelief. They were saying, it's not this happened. This is why many prayers, pastor prays over people, doesn't work for them. Because their heart is in dishonor. It's not always about the pastor's not anointed. That's not always the case. Because, and if I let me say this to you, this statement in verse 57, a prophet is without honor, except in his own hometown, is not, Jesus is not saying that that's how it should be. It's actually an error. A prophet should have the highest honor in his house. What it means is that in this house, I should have the highest level of honor. But most times, this is what we find in many places. A pastor is prophesying in his church, and I'm just looking at him. That pastor goes to another village or another church, and everybody's shouting, man of God, we are glad to have you. Guess what? They will have more miracles there than even in their own church. And that's one of the trainings I give my people here, is for you to honor me. That is not because I want you to be worshiping me. That is because I want you to get blessed. Because if I don't teach you to honor me, many things will pass you by. You will struggle. There will be no help. Because God has put it upon my life to pray. But when I pray, you cannot receive. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe in his prophet. So shall you prosper. So if you do not have faith in the anointed, prosperity will not come very close to you. It's not because God will say, well, because I don't believe my prophet, I'm not going to make you prosper. That's not what he's saying. It means that when they pray prosperity upon you, it will not work because you cannot receive it. Hosea tells us, by a prophet, the Lord led Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet, Israel was preserved. By the prophetic, you can be preserved. But then you have to believe in that anointing. I follow what I'm saying now. You have to believe that anointing. And that's why honor is very important. Honor is very important. There are people that I know, and I say it without missing words, that if I speak over them, it's going to work. Now, and it works. You know, part of the reason why the words we speak here in this church works like magic, it's not just because I'm more anointed than other pastors. That may not be the case. That is simply because the people here, they believe the things I say. They honor me. That's why you must not join this Instagram and Facebook craze of dishonor towards men of God. Please don't join it. I told you one of the major undoing of our generation, which we think is a good thing, but it's a big undoing, is that we are not afraid of anybody. And they think it's being woke. I don't fear anybody. No, sir. You should fear some people. Because the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, Miriam and Aaron, we are you not afraid to speak to Moses? You should fear some people. Now, fear I'm not talking about fidgeting like, no. I mean, you should have that kind of reverential fear for certain people. That honor. Are you following me? If you have that, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet, was he present? Why didn't the Bible say, by the Lord's hand, the Lord's mighty hand? He said, by a prophet. It was a prophet that the Lord used to get Israel out. And that's why honor is so important. Are you still here? And I'm going to close by saying to you that many things to say about walking in honor. But one of the first and major way you walk in that honor is to esteem the man of God highly in your heart. I'll just close with that today. There are many things. I'm not going to talk about all those other things. Esteem him highly. How do you perceive your pastor? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 13, what did it say? And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Esteem them very highly in love. Esteem them very highly in love. In other words, one of the ways to treat your pastor, you must love your pastor and rate him very high. When people hear me talk about a pastor, somebody once said, you sometimes you talk about as though your pastor is the only man of God in the world. I say, well, that is how it is in my own world. I esteem him very highly in love. I'm not despising what other people are doing, but I esteem this one. Now, notice he didn't say, go to verse 12. He didn't say, know those that labor all over the world. He said, know them that labor among you. That's in your own local church. Locate the people in platform of grace. Locate the man God is using. Locate the people that's placed in church. Esteem them highly. Now, is he saying disregard others laboring all over the world? He didn't say that. He said, but notice people in your own church. Give me like Amplified Classic. Now also we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. Verse 13, what do you do to them? Hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. So how do you see your pastor? High esteem. That's why I told you, honor is not just about shouting and saying, I celebrate you. Of course, honor will be seen, but wait, it starts from the heart. How do you see your pastor? How do you see the pastor's wife? How do you see the pastor that's been put in charge of your own assembly? How do you see that person? Those of you that are in other centers, you're in Abakiliki, you're in Osoka, I've sent a pastor there to represent me there in all those centers. How do you see that person? How do you perceive? How do you receive the person? How do you receive the person? Give me Message Bible of verse 12. Message Bible. How do you receive the person? Because that's what will determine that the word will work. He said, now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Verse 13, overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Practice this. Overwhelm your pastor with appreciation. He didn't say once in a while that are members that honor their pastors only on his birthday or only on their wedding anniversary. That's not bad. But Paul is saying, overwhelm them. So you honor. Now, when you keep, you esteem your pastor highly, when he now stands in his office and begin to speak, it will not fail in your life because you've made room for the flow. That's why, if you notice, and it's so important I'm talking about this, because if you notice the character of the anointing, for instance, upon my life, I can minister over very serious issues casually. I'm telling you, you can be talking about how heaven is falling and earth is rising, and I'll just say, well, don't worry, it's going to be fixed. If you're not someone that has been trained to walk in honor, you say, ah, what's that one? You know, that's what Elisha did to Naaman. He came with a big case, leprosy. Elisha didn't even step out of his room. Just tell him to go to River Jordan and jump in. Ah. Naaman said, I thought he should have come out. You know, the thing about the anointing is you do not determine how it will be administered. Just like you don't go to a hospital and begin to tell the doctor, is that injection that I need? Don't give me that one. You don't have that right. But all you do is keep your heart in honor. And that Naaman story is powerful. That's 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman refused. He said, I'm not going to do that. But you know, the servant girl that was staying with him told him and said, if this prophet has said you should do one powerful thing, sure you would have done it. He said that he's saying just go and dip into the water. Why not just do it? Why not just do it? Naaman said, I thought he would come out. I thought he would come out, you know, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place. You know, you don't determine those things. So he was expecting Elisha to come out with red and black clothes, carrying rod with seven prophets around him. And come say, shakala baraba, and pray around. It doesn't always work like that. Just let that be on your heart. Look at what the man was saying. I thought he would just come out. I thought he would come out and say, power move. But look at what they told him. The servants came in and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If he had said, can bring seven cows. You know, that's the problem. Pastors, one, the hallmark of a pastor's ministry most times is simplicity. And that's why they're the easiest to be dishonored. Because if a prophet comes, or maybe some of these dramatic guys, and says, if you're coming tomorrow, pack sand from seven places. When you pack the sand, buy this, you will obey it. That's what they say. If the guy has said, do some great thing, if he has said when coming, empty your account and come. That situation can come, actually. But he said if he has said that, you would have obeyed him. Now he just said a very simple thing. What is hard with that? In other words, your heart must be in honor. Right? That if you can finish talking with your pastor, and you just say, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. You know, there's a testimony I was reading through just yesterday. They were publishing, actually. We all know the testimony about a family here. And the father of the husband came down with partial stroke, and they've been praying. They even sent their father a phone that was filled with our teachings. Remember this testimony? They bought a phone, filled it with our messages, and sent to their father. Now that is faith in the anointing. They sent it. They didn't tell me at first. Then somewhere around Thursday, they chatted me up and said, Dad. Now, for some reason, best known to me, I didn't reply them. And that's why I'm talking about esteeming your man of God in your heart. Someone will have picked offense. So I'm talking about my father, the one that gave birth to me. And he didn't even say what. And that's what Jesus did. They told him, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is sick. He was going, Lazarus was staying around Gariki. He was moving towards MN. They said, what kind of man is this? So I didn't reply. I didn't say anything. But as I see that message, I saw it. And on Sunday, when I was ministering, they were streaming, and I just spoke here. And I said, you know, there's someone that sent me a message on Thursday and talked about their father that has partial stroke. You know, he's going to be healed. He's going to be fine. And everybody shouted, amen. That was on Sunday. The next morning, the man woke up in perfect health. Woke up and started walking up and down. Perfect health. Now, that's because there is at least honor in that. You know, they would have picked offense. My own father. You know, there are some of you that even write to me like that, and I don't reply. And then you come and give your testimony. Has it ever happened to you? Let me see your hand. You can write, I will not say anything. He said, this man, how can he write to me? I wrote to him. I took stress. I wanted somebody to talk to somebody. If you need somebody you can talk to, get a counselor. I'm not always your counselor. Sometimes I can be a counselor. Sometimes I can be a prophet too. And when that prophetic is working, it's not the emotions I'm checking. Because if I dance to your emotions, all you will get is an emotional part at the back. But you need more than that. The thing has to change. So I have to act in accordance with the demand of the anointing at that time. Sometimes you just write to me that everything is falling apart. As soon as I see it, I sympathize with you. The pastor in me just wants to call you and say, how is it going? Have you eaten this morning? But sometimes the Lord will just say, talk to me about it and let it be. I'll fix it. And I'm just going to do that. Sometimes so you write him the letter and I reply. I say, it's done. It's settled. Sometimes I won't ever tell anything. Are you following me? Now, in their own case, the Lord lighted it up in my spirit as I talk about it in service. I announced it in service here. And they held on to it. This was Sunday morning. Monday, the man slept, woke up, and started moving around. Now, it's not like he woke up. He had picked offense. Imagine that I said, well, since Dad did not reply, I know one pastor, Kinsley. Let us also write to him. I also know, you know, I said to someone, I heard from a man of God, when the disciple, when Mary and Martha sent for Jesus and Jesus did not show up, they didn't send for John the Baptist. They didn't send for Nicodemus. They didn't say, well, since Jesus, that is even his friend, he used to come here and eat. Not just used to go to the house to eat. You know, right? Read the Bible now. He used to go there to eat. It was in that house that Mary and Martha were fighting over who we cook for Jesus. The man used to come here and eat. Lazarus is, we know what we've gone through for this man. And now his friend is sick. Men will stain your white. Everything is now about getting emotional. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophet. Jesus didn't do anything. 4 days after, he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. You know, he was so in tune with what was happening in that place in Bethany that when Lazarus died, he knew. How you I'm saying? Nobody told him Lazarus. He was not that told them that Lazarus has died. He knew. The fact that he was moving away doesn't mean his heart wasn't there. It's all good what I'm talking about. So when Lazarus died, he told them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I'm going to go and wake him. I'm going to go and wake him. He got there. It was so good to see how Mary and Martha honored him. They didn't start saying, you. Another person will do it to you. They just came and expressed their concern. Say, Lord, we know that if you had been here, this guy wouldn't have died. You see that faith in the anointing. I know if you had just come. And Jesus told them, he will rise again. And they said, well, we know he will rise again. They were not fighting him. In the resurrection morning, we will see him again. We've accepted our faith. And Jesus told them, I am the resurrection and life. They are talking about resurrection morning. I'm talking to you about now. Roll away the stone. Glory to God. And they rolled away. And see, when he got to the tomb of Lazarus, Bible says Jesus wept. Now, for him to cry, it tells you that it's not like he wasn't bothered when they sent to him at first. He was paining him. He got there, couldn't go through. He even started crying. So he was emotionally involved in that matter. But at the time they wrote to him, he had to remove that emotion and do what has to be done. And because of the faith they had in him, in fact, to even agree to roll away the stone, in our own context, it's just like I come to where they had buried your father for 4 days and I said, bring out this corpse. I want to see it. For you to even agree to call diggers to begin to bring it up, it's because you believe that there is something working. They had that. They esteemed him very highly. They said, sir, it will smell. He said, roll it away. And they, as they were rolling it away, I could just imagine the kind of faith in the heart of Martha and Mary. Now, they did not say they believed Lazarus will rise again. They didn't believe in Lazarus rising again, but they believed Jesus. Do you understand? Now, we don't know what he's going to do, but whatever he's going to do, even if we roll away the stone and he enters there and just anoints the dead body and say, cover it back again, we are fine. But let's roll it away first. Are you following me? That's why you will not always have perfect pastors. God doesn't give us perfect pastors. He gives us pastors with a perfect heart. You get the point? By perfect, I mean you don't always have pastors who are perfect in how what they do every time and how they act towards you. But you must keep your heart in honor. And when your heart is in honor, everything else will fall in place. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet. I have 3 minutes to drop this. Stand to your feet. Pray any prayer you expect, you're trusting God for. Any request. And I'm going to have 2 minutes or one to speak from the place of my office. And if there is a God that has sent me, He will show you. Your time is counting. Take 1 minute. Just pray prayer. Pray any prayer. Just pray. You came here looking for an answer, looking for a miracle. We are ready. The atmosphere is ready for that. Online, on ground. God uses people for people. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I ask for divine interventions. Quick interventions. That matters that demand urgency be met with the same urgency. That the angels that walk with me in the call goes forth to begin to sort every matter out. Let sicknesses be wiped away. Let pain be removed. Let shame be removed. Let doors be opened. In the name of Jesus. That which has caused you pain in the past, that pain is over right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And you ask the Lord as a confirmation to talk to pastor about your case. And this I'm saying now is that confirmation that your prayers have now been answered. And your supply is now here. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord grant the desires of your heart. In the name of Jesus. That whatever the prophetic office can fix, that is yet to be fixed in your life. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've waited. I stand in my office this morning and I put an end to that negativity in your life. I put an end to that challenge in your life. Some of you are ripe for a new season. I open you up to that new season now. In the name of Jesus. The devil is kept far from you. In the name of Jesus. The devil is kept far from you. In the name of Jesus. The devil is kept far from you. In the name of Jesus. May the month of April be for you the month of many rejoicings. May it be for you a month of laughter and a month of joy. May it be for you a month of rejoicing, a month of laughter, a month of joy. In the name of Jesus. May you always have reasons to laugh in April. Reasons to rejoice in April. In the name of Jesus, it shall be said concerning you that when the Lord turned again his captivity, it was like a dream to him. Then was his mouth filled with laughter. So much so that the heathens began to say that the Lord has done great things for him. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. There are four persons that came into this place. The sincere truth is that you love the Lord. But the disposition of your hearts at this point where you are coming in is, Father, show me that you are there. Show me that you exist. Show me that you've not left me. And I'm saying to you that in this week, the Lord will give you a miracle of encouragement. He will give you a miracle of encouragement. In the name of Jesus. You will dance. You will rejoice. You will celebrate. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know if you heard that, but the month of April is rejoicing, laughter, dancing. Rejoicing, laughter, and dancing. You will dance, you will rejoice, you will laugh. You can begin to practice from now already. You can begin to practice from now already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One of the things the Lord is going to do for you in April is that He's going to give you many, many songs. I mean, songs that already exist, but you just find that sometimes those songs will just come up in your heart and you will sing and dance them. Whenever they come, don't stop. Get the point? It's one of the ways the Lord works with me. Sometimes He just puts a song in my heart and throughout the particular season, I'm just singing and dancing. It happened to you a lot in April. So when the song just comes, just dance it, play it to your phone, dance a lot in your room. Do not give in to sorrow, to weakness, to weeping. Give room for dancing. Give room for many shouts. Give room for many rejoicing. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm speaking, this is by the Spirit. At different times in the prayer, the Lord will give you a song. You might just hear a song. It might be a song we do in church. It might just be a song you wake up. Some people will sleep and hear that song. When you wake up, look for it. Begin to sing it and dance it a lot. No matter what is going on, dance it a lot in your room. And the devil can go to hell for all I care. That's his house anyway. I know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's do a dance and a run in the holy church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All the songs you dance to in April will be that song we did when we were starting.
You've done so much, I cannot keep it down.
Oh yes, it will be your story. Oh yes.
You've done so much, I cannot keep it
down. Two times now.
Say tamunoe, 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 tamunoe. You've done so much, you've done so much, I cannot keep it down.
Oh yes. One more time, say tamunoe. You've done so much for me. Aya.
Thank you.
inheritance is in April. I'm serious. At the inheritance, God will give you a song. You remember what I said? You might just say it to your spirit. Just dance a lot. Some of you will be scrolling on Facebook because you've been addicted to Facebook. You might be scrolling on Facebook and somebody singing any particular song. That song will light up your spirit. And let Facebook serve its purpose for you that day. Just take a look for the song, play it, dance it, celebrate it. Celebrate it till when? Until it stops ringing in your heart like that. When you're done in the morning, come back at night, do the same thing until it stops. I get the point. God will give you songs. Now, that's one of the ways God comes through for people. And I'm telling you now, for real. All the way God solves issues is that He gives you a song. You know what I say now? It's one of the major ways God fixes things for people. If you are praying over a matter and suddenly God, a song begins to rise your spirit, your answer might have come. But your answer has come. Begin to respond to it. Are you following me? It's getting better. Have your seat. I want to welcome you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.